As we open our word today for God, to listen to God's teaching, shall we pray? Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to see Jesus. Anoint us with your Spirit's power as we open your word. In Christ's name, amen. A few years ago, a young lady came to my office in tears. She was worried and stressed about world conditions. Just watching the news would stress her out every night, and it got her so upset, she decided to come and visit. Pastor, she said, I'm just worried about the future. I don't know what I'm going to do. If Jesus were to come today, would I be ready? She sobbed. The heart cry of this young lady, I believe, is the heart cry of many people. Assurance is lacking. Fear is prevalent. The daily news drives our emotions. Stock market plunges on news of unemployment findings. Hurricane Irene is now calculated to be among the 10 costliest natural disasters ever to hit the United States. And we are seeing across our country the extremes of flooding and drought, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, devastation, coupled with the current economy. People are nervous. People are stressed. They're full of anxiety. The Middle East is a powder keg just waiting to explode. The words of Jesus recorded in the Gospels regarding his return would indicate that we are living in the last days. Adventists have been proclaiming the imminent return of Jesus for more than a century and a half. Signs seem to indicate that his coming is near. So what about the assurance? What about the assurance that we'll be ready when he does come? I've noticed throughout my ministry that, when things get tough, there's something major, some major cataclysmic event that takes place that people somehow gravitate towards the pews of the church. Take a look at what happened after 9/11. I remember back many years ago, nearly 20 now, when the Persian Gulf War erupted. I remember that first Sabbath. There were people visiting in church that I had never seen before, and when I got acquainted with them, I found out that they had been away from the Lord for a long time, and suddenly that was a wake-up call for them, and they were thinking, oh my goodness, is this Armageddon, and I need to get ready. It's interesting to note what happens to human nature. We often become careless when things are good, but when things are bad, In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, after sharing the signs of his return, Jesus leaves a most important piece of advice. Essentially, it's this: get ready and stay ready. You know the passage. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man, what? Cometh. So the question is, what are the essentials to getting ready for the second coming of Jesus? over the next several weeks, we're going to be taking a look at that in this sermon series I've entitled Last Day Essentials. There are people that go to all kinds of extremes for preparation, and in fact, in one of the final message, we're going to talk about what some of those extremes are. But let me tell you, folks, there is no room for speculation. We can't take guesses about what we need to do to get ready. And there's really only one place that we need to go to find the answer, and that's in God's Word. Amen? And so today I'd like you to take a look. We want to take a look at the first last day essential. Would you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? And some of you, when I read this text, some of you may say, a last day essential? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, maybe you might have thought I would have taken you to Matthew 24 or one of the other gospel accounts of Jesus reciting signs of his coming. But I believe here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we find the first essential for preparation for Christ's return. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's begin with verse 23. The Apostle Paul here is sharing with the church in Corinth what he says he received from the Lord regarding instruction for a special service, the Lord's Supper. Let's read it. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So you may be wondering, well, what does this have to do with last day essentials? Notice verse 26. What then does the Apostle Paul say? He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." I personally believe, from my study of the New Testament, that the most important essential ingredient to last day preparation is the proclamation of the death of Jesus. Now, you might ask, what's so essential about that? What's so essential about the proclamation of the death of Jesus? Let's take a look at something else that the Apostle Paul wrote. Would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5, and we want to notice a conversation that the Apostle is having here in his epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 5, and we want to begin with verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners..." Let me go back and read that again, friends. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we had our act together." When we finally got it right. Is that what the Bible says? While we were still what? Sinners. Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. My friends, This is the first and most important essential for last day living. The proclamation of the death of Jesus. Why? Because it's the good news, folks. You know, normally we don't get excited when somebody dies. I mean, that's a very sad occasion, and indeed it was a sad occasion when Jesus died on the cross. But my friends, because of his death on the cross, it's good news for you and me. Amen? Amen. This is incredibly good news. And if we are to prepare for the last days, it's the most important thing we need to be doing is proclaiming the death of Jesus till he comes. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, that's incredibly good news. But I want you to notice something about it here. It says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's the good news that the death of Jesus justifies us. Now, what does that mean? Jesus, my friends, died for your lifetime of sins and mine. Jesus went to the cross to die for all of our sins. That's incredibly good news. We don't deserve it. It says we are justified. He declares us in that act as though we are without sin. When we come to him, Christ died for us. I love the way that Ellen White puts it. She says, he took what we deserve and gave us what he deserved. That's incredibly good news. Christ died for us. And accepting the death of Jesus is an essential ingredient to last day living. You see, as I accept what Jesus did for me on the cross, I can accept his forgiveness in my behalf. I can invite him to justify me and to declare me righteous, even though I'm not. That is the good news. And proclaiming that good news is something that this world that's in such a mess desperately needs to hear. Amen? We are in so much need of good news. And the death of Jesus is good news for each of us. Are you struggling with some kind of challenge in your life? Are you driven by fear and wonder whether you're ready for Jesus to come? Jesus died for your lifetime of sins, my friend. Whatever sin that might be. It's interesting for me to discover in my ministry people that somehow categorize sins, and you know, we have, as human beings, have maybe put some level of importance to sin, and if it's this sin, well, Jesus can forgive us, but if it's this sin, maybe not. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come visit me in my office and, you know, say, Pastor, I've done this and I don't think that Jesus can forgive me. I want to tell you, friends, I have good news. Jesus died for our lifetime of whatever we have done. Amen? And that is incredibly good news. And that is why he's calling us. He is calling us to remember his death. That's why he invites us through this communion experience, through the broken body, the bread that represents his broken body, through the juice, the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood. He says this is a representation of his death, and it's a reminder that he went to the cross to bear our lifetime of sins. Friends, that is incredibly good news. Coming to the foot of the cross every day is a last day essential. Coming to the foot of the cross, making Jesus first, accepting his justification by faith is essential to spending forever with him. Do you want to live a life free of guilt? free of anxiety? Do you want the assurance of a forever journey with Jesus? Then my invitation to you today is to not only accept the death of Jesus in your behalf. While you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. To not only accept that each and every day, but to proclaim it to others. And when you experience a particular challenge in your life, and the temptation comes over and over and over again, go to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I know that you died for my lifetime of sin, and this sin in particular, and I accept your death on my behalf to justify me, to declare me righteous. Even though I'm not, I accept your gift in my behalf. And while I am still a sinner, I know you died for me. I want to accept that. Not only do I want to accept it, but I want to proclaim it to others. That's the good news that we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians have to share with other people. That, my friends, is the essential, the key essential of the last day living. Want to get ready for Jesus to come? Go to the foot of the cross every day and accept by faith what he has done for you. And today, this service of the Lord's Supper is a key way for us to remember his death in our behalf. I want to encourage you to be here in the coming weeks, and if you are not able to, I encourage you, you heard Tim Russell say that our worship services are now online. You can go online and listen if you have that. If not, pick up a CD. I think those are available too. But this sermon series, Last Day Essentials. Next week, Joseph's Secret. What can we possibly learn from the life of Joseph to prepare for the last days? You want to be here next week when we discuss Last Day Essentials, Joseph's Secret. But today, we focus on everything that Jesus did for us on the cross. And yes, my friends, we celebrate his death as we accept it and his declaration of righteousness to us. At this time, we want to share in that experience and preparation for the Lord's Supper, and we do so through a time of service to one another, our ordinance of service, and we would invite you to participate in that. We have a couple of options, I think about three different options for you to participate in the ordinance of service. I believe that in this room right back here is where men meet. If you would like to participate with other men in that ordinance of service, you can do so there. In the campus center over in the fellowship hall, there is a place where women can share that together. And then also on the other side of the petition, on one side of the petition, partition, is where families can meet and share that experience together. You need not be a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to participate. We as Seventh-day Adventists practice open communion, and we invite you to share in this celebration of what Jesus has done for us right now. Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you that I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus left us through this experience of the Lord's Supper an incredible example, a reminder of what he has done for us, and he's calling us to remember him, to do it in remembrance of him, of his death for us. And so at this time, we would invite you to remain seated as the elders up here will kneel together and Pastor Jan will lead us in a prayer asking God's blessing upon these two emblems, the emblem of his broken body and of his shed blood.
Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for your body that was broken for us so that we could experience your life. We want to thank you for your shed blood because we know that out of the blood is life. And so we want to thank you for your pure and holy life that you've lived. And may as we partake of these emblems, may we experience anew your death and life and just experience a wholeness and healing and transformation as you infuse your life into ours. We thank you so much for experiencing what we never have to experience so that we can live forever with you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Jesus gave us this symbolism for a reason. And he used words like remember. And so now in this moment that we partake of these two emblems that are a representation of his broken body and of his shed blood, let us take time to remember what Jesus has done for us and the incredibly good news of the death of Jesus to declare us righteous. Contemplate that as we partake of these emblems today. And so first of all, in that upper room, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and then he told his disciples to eat it in remembrance of him. Amen. And then Christ took the cup, which was a representation of his shed blood. And he told his disciples that he wouldn't drink of it again until he celebrated with us in eternity. I can't wait for that day when Jesus drinks the cup with us again. It's going to be an awesome day. But until then, we have this symbol that reminds us of his shed blood in our behalf. And he invites us, along with his disciples, to drink all of it in remembrance of him. Amen. Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Before we go out today and leave this sanctuary, we want to sing a hymn that will draw us to the reminder of what Jesus has done for us, and that we will go with his blessings as we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes. And so together we would invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 407. And as you walk out of the sanctuary today, contemplate once again the death of Jesus and go forth proclaiming that good news with others. As you leave our sanctuary today, we will be collecting an offering, a love offering, to assist those in need. So if out of the generosity of your heart you can share that today, there will be ushers at the back collecting our love offering. Let us stand together and sing hymn number 407. Sent forth by God's blessing, our new faith confessing, the people of God from his dwelling take leave. The supper is ended, oh now be extended, the fruit.
of this service in all who believe. The seed of his teaching, receptive souls reaching, shall blossom in action for God and for all. His grace did invite us, his love shall unite us to work for God's kingdom and answer his call. Praise and thanksgiving to God ever living, the tasks of our everyday life we will face, our faith ever sharing, in love ever caring, embracing his children of each tribe and race. With your feast you feed us, with your light now lead us, unite us as one in this life that we share.
And now, may the goodness and the grace of Jesus sustain our hearts and our minds through this week, through the months to come, however long until we see Jesus face to face. Bless us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.